From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Why We Must Be Delivered from the Law. As we've seen, the main objective of Chapter 7 of Romans is to deal with God's law, its functions, and its limitations. The teaching of the New Testament is that sinners cannot be saved by trying to keep the law. This is not because the law is sinful, but because it requires perfect obedience, which no man is able to render. All the law can do is expose sin and condemn it. An essential point here is that the law not only condemns the act of sin, but the very thoughts and feelings of sin. Only when this is understood will the sinner know the awfulness and ugliness of sin. Furthermore, the law provides sin a base of operations, for unregenerate human nature rebels against any restraints placed upon it. People delight in doing as they please until the law of God convicts them. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 27. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. It is well frequently to weigh ourselves in the scale of God's Word. You will find it a holy exercise to read some psalm of David, and as you meditate upon each verse, to ask yourself, Can I say this? Have I felt as David felt? Has my heart ever been broken on account of sin as his was when he penned his penitential psalms? Has my soul been full of true confidence in the hour of difficulty, as his was when he sang of God's mercies in the cave of Adullam or in the holds of En-Gedi? Do I take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord? Then turn to the life of Christ, and as you read, ask yourselves how far you are conformed to his likeness. Endeavor to discover whether you have the meekness, the humility, the lovely spirit which he constantly inculcated and displayed. Take then the epistles, and see whether you can go with the apostle in what he said of his experience. Have you ever cried out as he did, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Have you ever felt his self-abasement? Have you seemed to yourself the chief of sinners, and less than the least of all saints? Have you known anything of his devotion? Could you join with him and say, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain? If we thus read God's Word as a test of our spiritual condition, we shall have good reason to stop many a time and say, Lord, I feel I have never yet been here. Oh, bring me here. Give me true penitence, such as this I read of. Give me real faith. Give me warmer zeal. Inflame me with more fervent love. Grant me the grace of meekness. Make me more like Jesus. Let me no longer be found wanting when weighed in the balances of the sanctuary, lest I be found wanting in the scales of judgment. Judge yourselves, that ye be not judged.
Search me, O God. Thank you. praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name.
Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in thee abide. I now surrender, Lord, in thee abide.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
If I understand 1 Corinthians chapter 3 properly, and I believe I do, and I have to confess it makes me tremble as a preacher when I read 1 Corinthians 3. It should make every preacher tremble. Concerning that day when we stand before God and we give account of our ministry. And it's dealing particularly with preachers who are admitting to the Church of Christ people who are not saved at all. You add them to the numbers. It makes the church roll look good. You clock up the decisions. We have 5,000 decisions. And what's the use if you have 5,000 baptized candidates for hell? What's the use? People with decisions that mean nothing. They're all mixed up. Why? Because they have never been brought to a conviction of sin. They've never been brought face to face with the law of God. Is it any wonder they have no appreciation for grace when they have never felt the awfulness of guilt? Jesus said that the one who has been forgiven much will love much. The one who feels guilt in all its depths will feel grace in all its glory. This is a vital part of the presentation of the gospel. Because though the law cannot save a man, it shows him his need to be saved. And it shows him that depravity that's deep rooted in his heart will bring him down to death in the end. As verse 10 says, the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. So why must we be delivered from the law? Because for all its innate perfection, all it can do with sin is to expose and condemn it. But there's one final reason why we must be free from the law if we're ever to be saved. And it's this, that the law affords sin a base of operation to work deception and death in all who remain under it. Notice the wording of verse 8. And watch the terms carefully. Sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. Sin, that evil, corrupt principle within our nature, taking occasion, without wasting too much time on this, you can take this as a sort of a military expression, making a base of operation. Sin makes the commandment the base of its operations, and it wrought, the word means it, worked effectively, powerfully in me to produce all manner of evil desire. Now once again, Paul is emphasizing that the desire of evil is sin. Now the question is, how does the law of God provide sin with a base of operation? The answer is in two ways. And you can readily identify with this. See, it's the psychology. And I use that word in a biblical sense. Psychology is the science of the soul as revealed in the Word of God. I'm not talking about the pseudo-science that masquerades under the title. Psychology, as here exhibited, is absolutely perfect. The law provides sin with a base of operation because it provokes the sinner to rebel. We all know that. We've all felt that. You know it in everyday life. Little Johnny has just learned to walk. And you goo and you oh and you ah. And you have your little china ornament sitting there and you say to Johnny, don't touch it. and you turn your back, what's the very first thing that the little rebel goes to touch? No, I know you're Johnny, not a little rebel. You think that? You have a long way to go, ma'am. You're going to learn a whole lot before you're much older. I don't mean to trivialize this, but this is true. By nature, we are rebels. Rebels against God, rebels against the law of God. And when the law says, thou shalt not, it stirs and it provokes the rebellion. Why am I not allowed to do this? And the most important, well, not the most important, I suppose, the most egregious thing that we say is, this is not fair. God is not fair. I should be able to sin with impunity. Why has God, and Paul writes to Timothy about this, why has God ordained things in such a way that you sin, many kinds of sin, and you find it in your own body and it's killing you before the time? Why should that be? Why is adultery, for example, as he writes to the Corinthians, a sin against a man's own body? Why does it produce a stream of disease that's spreading throughout the world? It's not fair. Does it stop people from sinning? No, it doesn't. It stirs them up to sin. Because we're rebels. It's something else. It plants in depraved and rebellious minds the idea of the very thing that it forbids. The law mentions things that you'll not do. And it's as if the switch was flipped and you say, man, I hadn't thought of that. That's the very thing I'll do. Why is that? Paul says in Titus 1:15, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So when the holy law gives a holy commandment that is just and fair and good and upright and beneficial, the rebel turns it into a reason to sin. Lloyd-Jones once said, the law irritates sin, disturbs it, and by its prohibitions arouses it. And this is the point that Paul makes so strongly at the end of verse 8 into chapter 9. Without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The law, without the law, sin was dead. The idea here is without the law is simply that it didn't trouble my conscience. Oh, it was there. I mean, the law is in the Bible. You can't get away from it. You can deny it, ignore it, do whatever you like. It's still there. But Paul's saying, it lay inert, inactive, didn't trouble me. And as a result, I was alive. I was complacent about myself, about my standing with God. But when the law did its work, sin revived, sin was aroused, and I died. And I realized then just how deep and dark was the depravity of my soul. And I lost all my self-complacency and was swallowed up by guilt. And the result, verse 10, the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now that brings us full circle. We're back to the question of verse 7, only in different words. Verse 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? So Paul now comes to verse 13. Was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Do I blame the law, says Paul, for bringing me to death? No. Verse 11, it was sin that deceived me. It was sin that slew me, not the law of God. Verse 12, the law is not evil, but by its very purity, it shows, as verse 13 puts it, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Now you see, this is Paul's real argument. But because of the reasons given, we must be saved from the law. What I want you to get tonight is, if you have never known conviction of sin, if you're at ease with a lax view of sin, if you have that superficial religion that lets the lust of an evil heart flourish, and it doesn't bring you down under such a feeling of unworthiness and rebelliousness and guilt, you're not saved. You're not saved. Paul is here describing his experience as vital to his Christian life and as vital to ours as well. Men and women understand we can't be saved by the law, but the law must do its work to let you see how vile and filthy, ungodly, unworthy, and needy you really are, and shut you up to Jesus Christ. I hope that tonight, although I have not, I'm skating over this passage pretty quickly, I have not gone into it in the depth that it deserves. I hope you've got some conception of how vile sin is. It's not just outward actions. It's an inward bias of the will that's against God. It's an inward corruption. It's an evil root. How vile sin is. I want you to understand how real sin is. Sin is not a psychological disturbance. Sin is not a complex. Sin is not something of which preachers speak in order to scare you into submission. Sin is real evil. How real it is. How deceptive it is. A man sitting on the edge of hell, feeling good about himself. One heartbeat away from the groans of the damned forever, feeling good about himself. I'm alive. Oh, I wonder, are you there tonight? I'm alive. This is life. Don't try to get me under guilt. Don't try to make me feel bad. I am having the time of my life. I'm happy with my life, happy with my lot. I'm not worried about my soul, and I'm not worried about eternity. How deceptive sin is. Paul says, it deceived me. How fatal it is. It slew me. Dead in trespasses and sin now, and soon to be dead with the second death in an everlasting hell, cut off from God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak,
1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.